Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. This is probably one of my most favorite stories in all of the Bible. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to pick it up in verse 35. It says this, on the same day, everybody say on the same day. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. How many knows we don't need to stay where we are, but we've got to cross over? Amen? How many knows we don't want to stay in this moment, right? I don't know about y'all, but I'm not enjoying the social distancing and the isolation, but I believe that it's time to cross over. And the church said a big amen. Yeah. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, speaking of Jesus. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep. We're talking about Jesus. He was in the stern, in the middle of the storm, he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he rose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray real quick before we dive into the word. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I ask that you'll bless the reading of your word. God, I ask that you would anoint these moments. God, we feel your presence here, but God, we don't want to get up from the couch. We don't want to leave this room the same way that we sat down in front of our phones or sat down in front of our TVs. God, we showed up because we wanted to encounter you, be changed by you, and we know that the word has the power to change us, God. So in these moments, may we see your son Jesus and have the desire to become more like him, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. I want to speak to you today from this subject, crushing chaos. Crushing, can somebody say that with me? Say crushing the chaos. How many knows that what we're in has been kind of chaotic, yeah? We're crushing the chaos. Over the years, this particular passage in Mark 4 has become probably one of my favorites for a lot of different reasons. And as a matter of fact, if you hang out with me for any length of time, you'll recognize this story. It's one that I reference quite often. And as I began praying about what to minister on today, I was thinking about this story and the season that we're in right now. This chaotic, unprecedented, crazy moment that we're in. And as we prepare to come out of this moment, this chaotic season, I started thinking about life in general and how we go through life and we face difficult situations. So basically what I want to talk about is I want to talk about the storm. A lot of people don't like to talk about the storm. They're like, I came to church not to talk about. I mean, I could probably do a show of hands and outside of the COVID-19 pandemic, I could ask the question, how many are in a storm? Outside of that, what part of your life right now do you seems to be chaotic or in a storm? I want to talk about the storms that you're going through. And we can look at COVID-19 because that's the immediate. But I believe that how we handle this storm will determine how we handle the next storm. Somebody said, I ain't looking for a next storm. I'm ready to get out of this boat. I'm ready to get on dry ground. I don't know if you've ever been on sea in a big boat, and when the stabilizers are in, that boat be rocking. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're just out there. You can be out there in the Cedar Key in a little John boat. And when the sea picks up and your storm's coming in, it'll make you're like, just get me back so I can put my 10 toes on some land. Come on, somebody. You're not looking for the next storm. Well, I got good news and I got bad news. How many want the bad news first? Okay, I'll give that to you. There will be another storm. But the good news is the same God that is walking through this storm is going to be in that same ship, that same boat, in that storm, right in the middle of it with you. Amen? Amen. So I began thinking about how we navigate through difficult circumstances. And I believe that we should immediately go to God's word to see how we're supposed to handle difficult situations. I mean, you can tell people who are going through a difficult situation and they're not in their word. They're in Facebook. Why? Because everything they're saying is talking about the storm. Yes, we're talking about it right now, but I believe that we're in the middle of, we don't need to be talking about how bad the storm is. We need to talk about how good and how big our God is, how much greater he is. Come on, somebody. I believe that we need to look to Jesus. He's the number one person. When we're going through a storm, look to Jesus. He's the number one person who gives us a clear direction on how to handle chaos. He's the only one that I've ever seen that knows how to crush chaos like a boss. Everybody say crushing chaos. Today I want us to look specifically at how Jesus handled chaotic moments, specifically this storm. Every one of us have been affected by chaos at some point, sometime in our lives, and we've all experienced chaotic moments or a storm. Anybody love chaos? I'm probably getting a lot of thumbs down emojis in the chat right now. No, I do not. No. I've never met anybody who's just absolutely ecstatic when they're going through a trial. I've never met anyone who gets overly excited when what they've planned to happen takes a hard right turn. Anybody out there ever had your life take a hard right turn? Like you was going so fast you didn't even see the detour sign. You just all of a sudden the road changed and you went with it. That's kind of like what happened. I think for us with the COVID-19, we're just going along and we're doing life as normal, and I think that's dangerous. But I think we go through life as normal, then all of a sudden we just took a hard right, and everybody's like, "Hey, what happened? School shut down, grocery store shut down. Nobody's got toilet paper. Somebody's got toilet paper in the house right now. Y'all need to share with somebody." I'm just saying. It won't matter if they put toilet paper back on the shelf, because won't nobody need it for a long time? Because bless God, everybody's got like 10,000 rolls in their house. Amen. But for me personally, I know I probably speak for a lot of people, but I'm not normally at my best when plans take a downward spiral. When you walk out into the garage and your wife's car is leaking blue substance, and you know that now, and she has to drive to work, you know that that's a problem, right? I don't handle very well. Anybody else? Do you handle, Janelle, when life takes a hard right, do you just, no, I be trying to, night turning, I'm going straight through. Yeah. The enemy loves to use storms to get us off track. He loves to throw a monkey wrench in our story, in our plans. Why? Because he specializes in using those moments to create fear and doubt in the life of a believer. He uses storms to create, oh my gosh, freak out mode. I'm doubting God. I don't even know if you're in control, because if you really love me, why are you allowing this to happen? He's going to carry us through. Come on, somebody say, he will carry me through. Today I want to take this storm story and I want us to look right at Jesus and his disciples and see what happened when they began to experience unexpected weather patterns. Anybody ever had an unexpected weather pattern? Like everything was sunny outside. I'm not talking about literally, but I'm saying everything was going great and then all of a sudden a storm blew in. Y'all know we live in Florida. When the hurricane comes in, you can always tell something's fixing to happen. I looked out the other day and all the trees in our backyard were like doing this. And before I went to bed that night, I prayed. Well, actually, it wasn't even before I went to bed. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning when my dogs were prancing around the bedroom. And I knew something, because it would start flashing outside. I could see that and I could hear it. And I just prayed, God, let every tree stay straight up in the air. I don't, because I got them oak trees just like y'all do. And it makes me nervous. I said, God, and I stayed awake for about an hour and a half. My lovely bride just lay beside me, just peaceful. She was like Jesus, asleep in the boat with a pillow. I'm just, you know, and so when Ansley woke up the next morning, she goes, Dad, she goes, I don't believe it. She goes, there's not a single limb other than just a couple little branches with, you know, the little mistletoe branches that fall off. She goes, there's nothing in the yard. I said, that's because Jesus answered our prayer. I said, keep every tree in the air. I kid you not. Somebody said, that's small stuff. I believe we serve a God that looks after the small things in our life and the big things. Somebody said, are you worried about your yard? We talked about that. I don't like to pick up my yard after a storm. But I was more afraid. I said it. I was more fearful that a tree come down on my house with my daughter on the other side of the house, and a tree come down in the middle of the night. So I rebuked that storm, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you can come in, you can do what you want to, but every tree's going to stand straight up. I just believe you got to be that way. One day I'm going to get as spiritual as Amy, where I can just sleep through the storm. Amy and Jesus, they tight, I guess. He just said, just. Maybe you're in a storm right now. Maybe you're going through something, and chances are pretty good you are, outside of the COVID-19. Maybe you're going through an unexpected weather pattern. But I came today to tell somebody that God has an answer for your issue, that God has a solution for your storm. We often reference hard times as storms. What's a storm? A storm is marked by a significant disruption to normal conditions. So that's why I know we're in a storm right now, because we have a major disruption to the normal. We were talking today as we were getting ready for service with the leadership team, and I said, you know, it felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, because there's something inside of me that wants to get back to things as normal. But God just prompted me in my spirit today and said, don't look for to get back to the way it was. Let's talk about what I want to do new in your life. Let's talk about new ways to reach your community. Let's talk about new ways to be a better husband. Come on, somebody. If nobody else in the house, talk. My wife should be talking right now. If nothing else, I can be a better dad. I can be a better husband. I can be a better friend. I can be a better pastor. I can be a better leader. How about you? Is there an area in your life that you can be better at? So when we come through this thing, let's don't look for ways for it to get back to normal. Let's say, God, just change it all up. It's already changed. Why would we want to come back in and settle back into the way it's always been? Because you're not going to get a new result if we do it the same way we've always done it. It's time to do a new thing. That's what his word says. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And I just believe sometimes God allows storms to come in to shake us up, to get us off course, so that we can actually start navigating to the same, maybe the same place, but we're going to get there a different way. Because how many knows that when you go a different path, you're going to run into different people? When I'm trying to do it the way I've always done it, I have what are those things they put on horses to keep their eye? I have a one blinders. I can't see anything else because I'm no, man, take me a different route. Let's go to a different way. Let's do something different. God, do something different in this church. Do something different in my house. Do something different in my home. So today we're gonna answer the question: how do we walk through chaos or chaotic moments in life? And we're going to do it verse by verse. This is really what the educated people call an expository sermon, where we're really just going to pick this verse by verse. And we're going to start with verse 35. And it said, on the same day. Everybody say that again, on the same day. I think it's important for us to understand the context of what this is. Okay, so everything that you already know is getting ready to happen, it happened on the same day. The same day as what? The same day, if you were to go verses ahead, it's the same day that Jesus was teaching. It's the same day that he was preaching. It was the same day that he was giving of himself. It was the same day he was taking groceries to a friend. I'm bringing it into 2020. It's the same day that you rededicate your life. It's the same day that you decide we're gonna set up some new ground rules for our marriage. It's the same day you're saying I'm gonna be all in this thing. Somebody say same day. The same day that you're trying to do everything right is the same day that the enemy throws a monkey wrench in and everything goes wrong. Everybody say same day. Listen, I think it's important that we understand, and what the reason that the writer added this in there is because he wants us to understand that it could happen on the same day. Because so many times people get saved, they come to Christ, and they think everything's going to be lovely, cheesecake and pie, and then they walk away because it happened on the same day. The same day that you decide I'm gonna be a better husband is the exact same day you walk out the door, you go home, and in the minivan y'all are having a knockout drag out. Anybody drive minivan? You having a knockout drag out? Knockout. That, see, when you a knockdown drag out, as in knock down and drag you out the house. Say yeah, yeah. The same day that you're trying to make the commitment that you're going to honor Christ in your marriage is the same day you have one of those knockdown, drag out moments on the same day. Like you can't even get to the house and pull the minivan in the garage before all hell's breaking loose. It's got like flames out the back of the minivan. Not because you're driving fast, but because hell is in your car. Come on. It's on the same day. Same day. It's after you spent time with Jesus in the morning. It's after you grab your coffee and you start having devotions. You start spending time that you get to work and realize that your employer has terminated your employment. On the same day. On the same day that I decide to do the right thing, here comes the storm. Something that I learned a long time ago about storms is that I often experience storms on the coattail of my encounters with God. I'm just trying to be real today. So just know that when you have that, when you have that encounter with God, just expect the enemy to try to come in and disrupt, dismantle, and take away your joy, take away the game plan, alter the game plan. Now, I'm not trying to put an emphasis on the storm, because something that I learned a long time ago, that as long as you got Jesus in your boat, everything's going to be all right. See, let me say this. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not just hearers. If I stay on the shore with the teacher, I'm just a hearer. But it's not until I get in the boat that I become a doer. If all I do is come in here when we're able to open up the doors, which I believe is very, very soon, and we open up the doors, we're able to come back in here. If all we do is come in and listen, we just hear a good message. You can even stand up and shout me down. But if you don't actually take and apply the words you hear in here into your world out there, you're considered what the word calls is a hearer. I need to be a doer. If the word is challenging you to be a better husband, bless God, you need to be a better husband. If the word of God is challenging us to be a lamp and a light into our city that is full of darkness, guess what? It's time for us to look for ways to be the light in that city. It's time for us to be doers and not just hearers of the word. So if we're going to make it through the storm, the first point I want to give you is this. Before you get in the boat, you must first purpose your direction. Jesus said that to the boys. He said, we're going to the other side. So whenever God gives you a dream or a vision, start a new business, be an entrepreneur, be whatever that is, whatever the dream is for you, it's important that you purpose your direction. Go ahead and map it out. This is where I'm headed. Basically, what I'm saying is define your purpose now and set the course. Define the purpose and set the course. Make up your mind now. Just decide. Once and for all, there's no turning back. Listen, I've got a destiny. I've got a purpose. And nothing is going to keep me from arriving at my destination. Make the commitment now. Purpose your direction now. All right, let's keep going. I hadn't even got past the first verse. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Basically, what Jesus is saying is, I know where you are, but I also know the place that I'm trying to get you to. Same thing for our life. He sees where you are, but he's trying to get you to that new place. He doesn't want to take us back to how it's normally been, how it's always been. God wants to take you to a new place. I just want to speak something over your life and say this. You may be in the middle of a storm, but your crossover moment is right here. Your crossover moment is right now. If you don't know where you're headed, then just don't just pull off the track, but just stop and say, even in the middle of this broadcast, just say, God, where am I going? Where do you want me to go? And then he will map that thing out for you. This is it. And then you trust him every step of the way how to get there. It doesn't matter how big the storm is, how big the waves are. Bless God, I'm going to that place. And I'm not putting my eyes on all the circumstances and is my checkbook, what my checkbook looks like and what everybody in town is saying and what my family is saying. I'm not looking at all the things. All I'm looking at is where's the destination? Where is God telling me I'm supposed to arrive at? And the reason that is that the waves can't bother me and the storms can't bother me and the reason COVID-19 doesn't frustrate me is because, bless God, I know where I'm headed and I've already decided that's the purpose. You got to purpose your direction. Where am I headed? It doesn't matter what happens. I'm still going there. And if I have to take a new route and the camera's not, shot's not wide enough, if I need to take a new route, I'll take a new route, but I'm still going to arrive at the, because my life is surrendered, I'm still going to arrive at the place that God has destined, predestined, already said, this is where you're supposed to be. God did not intend for you to stay where you are. Think about where you are with your family. Think about where you are in your career path. Think about where you are as a student and pursuing an education. God doesn't want you to rest there. He doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want you to become stagnant there. He's trying to get you to cross over. I believe that every person listening by phone, whatever social media app you've got, I believe that he, in this moment, he's saying, this is where you are. This is where I want you to be, and it's time for you to cross over. Even though we're in the middle of a COVID-19, even though there's some restrictions and some policies that we're having, I can still cross over. I can get my mind already there. I don't have to be stagnant where I'm at. It's time for me to look at what God, where is God taking me? Just keep your eyes focused on that. Amen? It's time to cross over. Why? Because he sees potential in you. He's saying it's time to cross over from where you are to where I want you to be. Crossing over is a process. That's why Jesus and the disciples had time to get in the boat and they were able to face a storm, because there was a process of getting from where they were to the other side. So what I love about Jesus, God already determined my direction and the direction for your life before I ever faced a disaster. I just believe according to God's word. He said, this is where you're going. Why? It's important that we, when he says, this is where you're going, it's important that we capture that, because it's easy for me to get caught up in the chaos and forget the destination. I mean, for churches and pastors, we could have just sat down and go, wake us up when this thing's over. No, because there's people hurting. There's people losing their jobs. There's people losing paychecks. There's people losing their lives. There's family members. They're catching COVID-19 and not recovering. People need hope. And it's not a time to go to sleep. Man, when the storm comes, man, put a life jacket on and just say, stabilize this thing, God, but let's keep on going forward. I'm not going to get shook up by the storm. Take some spiritual Dramamine if you need to. Verse 36, now when he had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Everybody say seclusion. I've already said this earlier. There's a difference between seclusion and isolation. Oftentimes when storms come, we get into a moment of seclusion. Listen, or actually when storms come, we get into isolation. We like to isolate when storms come. Why? Because we don't want people to see that we don't have it all together. Huh? When things go crazy and storms come, we're trying to hide from everybody. We're trying to hide. Why? Because what's inside of you, my wife said it earlier, when tough times come and you get squeezed, what's in you comes out. And sometimes what comes out ain't tasty. Oh, I'm just talking to me today. No, then we go into isolation. Listen, there's a difference. Jesus said, I'm taking you from where you are, disciples. I'm taking you from where you are, online community, to where I want you to go. Sometimes he's calling you out, but don't look at those times as then to be isolated. We like to isolate and back up, because then when nobody can tell me what to do, I can still do what I want to. That's fine. You'll wreck yourself. So you better check yourself. Don't look at when God says, I'm going to seclude you as isolation. He's trying to do something in you. Oftentimes, storms come when we're in a season of seclusion. Listen, God cannot consecrate you and I when we're in a crowd. You may want to write that down. There's a reason why he's trying to seclude us. It's protection. And he's also trying to do something in us that he can't do when we're persuaded or inspired by social media. Somebody say, what you saying, preacher? Maybe we need to deny ourselves of some online time. I know it would probably help in my home. It'd probably help me to be a better person. Because I don't know about you, but when all you look at is negativity, going back to what Amy said, if you get squeezed, whatever's in you comes out. How did that ugliness get in you? Because you put that ugliness there. When you put Jesus in there, and she said it earlier, when you're putting worship music in, when the storms come, I've heard people say, worship through worry. Worship your way out of that mess. But if all you got is worry in you and doubt in you and fright and fear in you, guess what's going to come out when you get squeezed? Fright, fearful, doubtful. I need to put Jesus. I need to put some Jesus in me. Listen, God has to get us alone so he can begin a work in us. He can't purify us in the midst of the people. What does consecrate even mean? It literally means to make us holy, to make us more like Jesus. Many Christians on their way to success want to bypass the season of seclusion. Can't bypass seclusion. When God says, I'm trying to remove you from that group of friends. This is totally different. Don't, yeah, Pastor B, that's because the Word of God says we're different. We're supposed to come out from among them. No. Because how are you going to reach them? But there are moments that you have to seclude yourself because you're putting in whatever they got on them. There's no way, the chances of you changing them are less likely. They are changing you. And it starts from the end. You're not going to see it on the outside. You're going to see it start on the end. You're not going to see it until it starts coming out. Just how Jesus does the work in us from the inside out, the enemy does the same thing. He plants the seeds in you, and then when you get squeezed, it starts coming out of you. And then it's too late. That's why we've got to separate ourselves and say, God, if that's where I'm supposed to be, there are some people who can't go in the direction and can't go to the place that God is calling you to. It's not popular. If you're looking to be in the crowd, you fall on the wrong leader. For as much time as Jesus spent in the crowd, he spent more time away from the crowd. I'll take it a step further. For all the time that Jesus was healing people and healing the sick and doing miracles and all of that stuff, just as much of the time he was doing all of that he did for those 3 years here on earth, he spent more time in prayer. How much time are we spending in prayer? Jesus is calling you and I out away from the crowds of complacency. Away from what everyone else is doing. He's calling us unto himself. Why? So he can begin to work on areas within you and I that cannot handle the capacity of what he's trying to put inside of you. He's trying to make way. He's trying to make room in you for what he wants to deposit there. He can't place it there because there's no room. Somebody say, he's still working on me. Philippians 1:6 says, you can be confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Probably one of the very first songs that Robin taught me to sing when I was just a little boy in Franklin, North Carolina was that song. He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. Listen, you may be in process, but you must remember you have a purpose. We get so focused on the process, we forget there was a purpose. We think the purpose is the process, and we think God's trying to break us down, and we're going through all of this because he's trying to punish us. No, God loves you. Many of us don't like to be alone because when we're talking about seclusion, because then we have to face the reality of our dysfunctions. But if we'll allow God to call us out from the things that wants to find us and into a season where he begins to mold us, I promise you will begin to see the hand of God manifested in your life. Let him seclude you so he can begin to... Not everybody gets to go... Are y'all still with me? Not everybody gets to go into surgery, into the ER, into the operating room. Who gets to go? Only qualified personnel that are actually trying to make you better. Stop trying to let everybody get inside your life when God's trying to do a work and get stuff out of you because they're dumping stuff in. Not everybody belongs in the birthing room. Not everybody belongs in the surgery room. You hear stories all the time when the doctor opens them up and they close them back up and they leave stuff in there. Sometimes we're in surgery. We're in seclusion. We actually surrender and go, God, okay, do that. But then we come out too soon thinking we're trying to take the world. And then and all this stuff that we're allowing people to dump into us. And then we go back in. We get seamed back up, and we got stuff in us that wasn't belong there, and it was our fault because we would not stop hanging out with people that we'd had no business hanging out with. All right, let's go back to the verse. Let me keep moving. Let's keep, we out here in the middle of this ocean. Verse 36, and this is the part, I just read this, but I want to go here. And other little boats were also with them. Listen, I never paid attention to this part of the story. I just saw Jesus get in the boat. The disciples are going. They run into a storm. Jesus calms the storm, and they get to where they're going. There was other little boats. It never hit me. We often look at seclusion like we're the only one going through it. Listen, like we're the only one going through this issue. Like we're the only one that is experiencing this pandemic. I'm the only one out here that's experiencing this storm. Listen, you're not the only one. See, the enemy likes for us to focus on the size of the wave that's coming over top of us. That if we would just look, there are actually other people out there experiencing the same thing. There were other little boats that were experiencing, who didn't have Jesus in their boat. And when we go through a storm, we tend to lash out. Let me just talk truth to you. When we're going through storms, we tend to lash out. And who do we lash out to? The people who are the closest to us, family members, the people that we love the most. Why? Because they already know we're jacked up, so we can just spill it all out, right? Because for the rest of the church people, we got to be Instagram, Pinterest, photogenic. But we've already messed up with our family. Listen, I'm thankful that my girls, they know that I can be crazy sometimes. And they love me for just who I am. I've said this before. If there's nobody else that has shown me the love like Jesus, the unconditional love and the grace of God, if it's even humanly possible, would be my wife. Reminds me on the daily of how grace operates and how forgiveness operates. Anybody else crazy sometimes? The chat room should be filling up with like hand emojis going there. Yeah, I'm a little crazy sometimes. Listen, storms may separate you, but they should never isolate you. The enemy loves to raise the level of our storms so that we're less likely to see that there's actually other people in this storm with us. There are. I don't know, 40, 50, 60 people maybe watching the online, and there are multiple people on watching in other living rooms just like you who are going through some of the same issues that you're going through. You're not alone. But the question is Jesus in your boat? It's why it's important for us to stay connected as a church family. You're not the only one. You're not the only one walking through disappointment. You're not the only one experiencing the loss of a loved one. You're not the only one that's lost their job. You're not the only one. Verse 37 says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Listen, I thought it was interesting to note that it wasn't until Jesus got in the boat that the storm came. What I'm trying to say is, just because you get Jesus, just because you have that encounter with God, doesn't mean that you're exempt from the storm. Because Jesus brings substance into our lives. Substance doesn't come from safety. It reveals to us, or it's revealed. Excuse me, let me rephrase that. Substance doesn't come from safety. It's revealed in the storm. So what you have inside of you doesn't come from a safe place. It comes from and revealed through the storm. Something that I'm learning, especially through this COVID-19, that our God is still sovereign in the middle of the storm. He is still sovereign. His purpose and his plan for your life is still intact. He's sovereign through the storm. Verse 38, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Anybody ever felt like God was asleep on your journey? I wish the camera shot could do it. We ain't that high tech, so I would get in the floor. Gee, I don't know if he came prepared with the pillow, but the Word of God says just about every translation that he showed up with a pillow. I need that same assurance. Like Amy Weber, when everything's going crazy outside. Just out. Listen. If Jesus isn't worried about what you're going through, why are you worried? Maybe what you're really worried about is you know that Jesus isn't in your boat because it's been a long time since you spent some time with him. It'd be like going out on a little John Deere boat, little John boat, you know, one with a and ain't got no life jackets. It's time to freak out when the waves go like this, and you know you're getting ready to tip over and you can't swim because you don't have any protection. Jesus is our protection. It's important that you make sure before you step out into any day that you're taking Jesus with you along the way. Jesus had a pillow. Oh, Bill Johnson said this. You only have authority over the storms you can sleep through. I don't have authority over the storm. Clearly, I don't have authority over the storms that I'm freaking out and worried about. It's the storms that I'm sleeping through that gives me authority. Because one, I have to have the authority to tell my flesh, in spite of how I feel, in spite of what I'm going through, settle down. Settle down, young gun, settle down. Anybody ever had to tell you, settle down? I have the authority to tell my flesh, settle down. That's why the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometimes your flesh needs to be told, sit down. In closing, if you're going to make it through the storm, I already gave you the first point. You must purpose your direction. If you're going to make it through the storm, number two, expect that storms are coming. Expect that they're coming. Christianity does not exempt us from problems. It provides the solution in the midst of the problem. That's what my relationship with Jesus Christ does. It does not exempt me from the problem, but it gives me the strength, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on what to do as I'm going through it. Everybody say through it. And it's not enough to just expect storms. You've got to align your posture. Align your posture. I must align my posture with the one who sleeps in the midst of the storm. As the music softly plays. I got to get to a place where I'm carrying this, my security. What you see is a pillow, but in my spirit, what I know is it's the Holy Spirit who's going with me. He's my comforter. He's my peace. Some of y'all, when you lay your head down tonight on your pillow, you need to cast all your cares upon him. I pray that tonight, every time you walk into your bedroom at home and every time you lay down, you know that you're resting in him. Jesus has got you. I'm talking to the believer today. I'm talking to the Christians. I'm talking to those who are seeking after God, knowing that he's got you covered. How many want that peace? How many desire that peace today? Amen. And then he said, verse 38, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I think oftentimes we ask the wrong questions. We always ask questions that are going to benefit us. But Jesus saw something that the disciples did not see. Jesus goes out to the water and he says, peace, be still. It's not enough to align your posture with the one who has the power over the storm. You've got to learn how to command your promise. command your promise. If Jesus says, you are here, but I'm taking you there, even if you've already stepped off the shore and you're on your way to get there, you must command your promise. You must align your posture, but you must, no matter how big the storm is, you command your promise. Jesus didn't freak out. Jesus commands his promise. And I don't think he was just talking to the winds and the waves. I think he was talking straight into the hearts and the spirits of those disciples. Peace be still. And finally, once you command your promise, engage your faith. Once you've spoken and commanded your promise, engage your faith. I must activate my belief in what God said. He spoke to the storm and peace came. Whoever you are today watching on social media, I don't know what your storm is, but I hear from heaven his voice saying, be still. Just be still and know that I am God. I just want to pray for you today. Service is concluding, but I want to pray for every person because I believe there are many, many, many that are watching right now and many, many, many that will watch at a later time or listen on podcast who are facing a storm. God cares for you. He sees where you are, but he's saying, it's time to cross over. It's time to cross over. Can we stand all over this room this morning, those of us that are here? Father, I live.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.